Welcome to the HR Happy Hour Show, live from the HR Technology Conference. My name's Steve Bowes. I'm joined by Trish McFarland, of course. Trish, how are you?
I'm good. It is good to be right here next to you. It's so rare we do this actually live, so.
Many people have said that, so thank you. This is going to be a great show. Before we welcome our very special guest to the show, who's making a triumphant return to HR Tech, I might add.
Absolutely.
I must thank our sponsors, Trish, our wonderful friends at Paychex, one of the leading providers of HR payroll, retirement, and insurance solutions for businesses of all sizes. As you reevaluate your benefits offerings this fall, don't overlook the advantage of having the right 401k plan. Having the right plan not only can help with employee retention, but can truly serve as a talent magnet for your business. Discover how offering a 401k plan can play a vital role in keeping your business competitive and how you can find the plan for you and your employees. Visit paychex.com/AWIA and download Paychex's free guide to 401k planning today. That's paychex.com/AWIA. Thanks to our friends at Paychex. And before I introduce our guest, Trish,
yes,
I had a demo at the Paychex booth today where we did the
did
voice
you?
Assistant, basically run your payroll using your voice.
I'm doing that tomorrow.
Through like a Hey Google kind of thing.
Oh, right.
Which is pretty awesome.
Is it cool? All right, I'll report out tomorrow because I have a meeting in the morning with them to see that. So.
And now while our guest is very concerned with American retirement plans and payroll runs, I will introduce him so we can talk about other things. We are joined today by Mike Carden. Mike is an entrepreneur. He's the co-founder of Joyous, a platform that unlocks expertise in large workforces. The world's largest employers use Joyous to gather the knowledge in their teams, identify actionable themes, and solve critical challenges. Previously, he founded Sonar6, a human resources SaaS company acquired by Cornerstone On Demand. He's the winner of the Rightmark Plain English Award. I could probably use some help in trying to get that award done
that.
As I'm botching these reads. And the Bayer Innovators Award. He's an author on marketing and startup businesses. And he has crashed a plane into the sea and lived to tell the tale.
That sounds made up.
Can we just ask, like, how do you
welcome
not lead
Mike to
with
the show?
That?
It's good to be here. It's really fun to be
here. It is great for you to be here. For unlike myself and Trish, who are HR technology geeks and conference geeks, Mike, for folks who may not know you, tell us a little bit about what's brought you back here to HR technology, and then maybe we'll talk a little bit about some of those old fun days with Sonar6.
Yeah, okay, cool. Well, look, I guess that we're back because it's it's an exciting time to do stuff, right? Like, the first time round when we were building kind of SaaS businesses, you were taking kind of an on-premise process and you're putting it in the cloud. Yeah, that's what everyone was doing, right? Whereas now you've got the ability to build integrations. You've got you can build user experience on top of machine learning. You've got microtransactional stuff. It's just new stuff to do, right? So suddenly you have new tech, which just allows you to stretch. Yeah, and I think it was possibly it was just the technical challenge which actually kind of got me back.
Right. Can you talk to us a little bit about Joyous and what sort of inspired you to take that journey, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look. I mean, we kind of describe what we do as enterprise crowdsourcing, right? We're trying to unlock that expertise that exists in your workforce to solve the challenges in your workforce. So if you're a telco and you want to reduce repeat visits, we can help you ask the field service technicians that are doing the repeat visits what's causing it, and then we can kind of look at all of that information and actually give you the recommendations on what your team think you should do. And it's just a rocket ship. It's like one of those things where we talk about it this way. Our customer is someone with a lot of people with a big problem, and we can kind of use the knowledge that exists in the people to solve the problem. Where that idea came from, I don't know. It's a meandering path, isn't it? I think we looked at employee feedback, and that seemed to be getting towards an inflection point. The annual survey was dying. Can we do something else? And I think the big thing we realized was maybe we can ask about topics which aren't normal HR topics. And that was probably the bit which got us going.
Yeah, Mike, the key difference I thought when I saw Joyous, and by the way, Joyous is a winner of a top HR product of the year from Human Resource Executive and the HR Tech Conference, which is well-deserved, by the way.
Thank you.
But kind of one of the things we thought about when we were looking at Joyous over the summer was, well, this is not look, there's lots of pulse surveys out there. Mm. There's lots of even kind of, I don't know, collect ideas and suggestion box types of things have been around for a long time. Tell us a little bit about how the way Joyous works in an enterprise that makes it different from those things we might be familiar with.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, look, I mean, I think there's kind of four steps to it. We describe it as four steps. The first thing is that we'll kind of help you take a problem you've got and turn it into a campaign. You know, turn it into something that will run for maybe 3 weeks and, you know, and stimulate people to give you ideas, look for the challenges, look for knowledge gaps. You know. Then step two, we'll send that out to people's devices somehow. You know, so maybe through workplace or through SMS or through Teams or even through email, and to get out to that, you know, that big workforce, whether they're in field services or whether they're in nurses in hospitals, you know, like people doing real work, that sort of thing, right? And those people respond, and then I think the first piece of magic is we take those responses and we immediately send them to someone who cares. You know, they immediately go to like someone who's interested in solving the problem. You know, like maybe there's a team working on, you know, patient discharge, you know, so let's let those people interact. And they'll like provide encouragement, ask for more information, really turn it into a conversation. And if you're that employee, you're suddenly like, wow, someone's interested in what we're talking about. You're like, yeah, I'll get involved. And then that, of course, creates momentum, but it also creates all these great conversations. And those conversations are our data set, right? So then our intelligence sits on top of that data set, and it goes off and it looks for people suggesting action first and foremost. You know, finds the people who are suggesting action, and then it starts to kind of clump the themes of what they're doing. And so what you end up with is not just sort of identification of issues. It's actually like a kind of prioritized list of what people think you should do to solve those issues. You know, and honestly, once you use it once, like, you never rescind that, right? It's like, okay, I've got that capability now.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I worked in healthcare, and I know that's an actual problem that we had, right? We wanted to know, for example, you know, wait times at the internal pharmacy.
Yeah.
And it was such a cumbersome process to try to send out something through email. A lot of the workers were deskless workers, right? So when you're giving these examples, the first thing I'm thinking is you're able to mobilize those questions in a way to gather that data that really, if you don't have someone just sitting there at their desk to answer necessarily. So it mobilizes the answers, right?
Yeah, and look, you know, healthcare is a great example, right? So if you look at a hospital system, you know, so nursing as a you know, standard example, three shifts, never talk to the other shift, you know, like, there's never a time when they're all in the same room. There's like, you know, never a time when they've got time, you know, like, so we go out to them on their device, you know, literally they interact for maybe even 30 seconds. But the cool thing is that they've also been included. So when a change happens, they know that, oh yeah, my voice was part of that change. You know, so it's a really, you know, we've certainly found that, you know, particularly in those hard to get to workforces, you know, like a big chunk of what we do is actually just getting to the workforce.
Yeah, I think that's good because Steve and I were just talking earlier about, you know, it's gone beyond just diversity and inclusion. Now we're really talking about, to your point, different workforces, different parts of your workforce to really feel included in things. And so, again, that might be something that HR professionals or other leaders have struggled with in the past. Mm. It sounds like this would be something to take
giving everyone a voice, right? Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
I mean, like, the first part of well, one of the most important parts of the whole DE&I kind of question is actually giving people a voice that's listened to.
Right.
You know,
like, yeah. Well, I like one more thing. I think the portion that you talked about where it's an actionable thing, where it helps you prioritize, because that's the other problem. We might have been doing surveys before, to your point, pulse surveys, you know, in the recent years, and still HR gets overwhelmed. We don't know what to do with them. You get all these answers back. Everything's a little haphazard. And if you're not someone who's really used to sort of distilling data down to an actionable item, it sounds like you're kind of taking that heavy lifting off of them. Is that right?
I think actually, like, if you talk to our data science team, you talk to Ruby and Kevin and that team, like, one of the things which they will tell you is that, like, the secret sauce really is identifying people who are talking about action. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where you start. You know, you go off and you identify the conversations which suggest action, and then you kind of extract themes and then you clump stuff, but you start with action. You know, it's really you're completely right, Trish. The idea that, like, not everyone can actually interpret kind of feedback is a big part of the challenge, actually. Yeah, particularly when you're dealing with, you know, often thousands of conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, you mentioned like field service technicians, say for a telco company or nursing, et cetera. Maybe if you could, and you can anonymize it if you like, you know, not drop a client name if you're not allowed to, et cetera. Maybe because I feel like with a lot of technology, you can read the description of it and have a pretty good idea of what it does, what it looks like, and how it works. Joyous, I feel, is the kind of technology you really need to see. Like, I luckily had a demo of this, a pretty extensive demo over the summer. But maybe if you could give one of the real examples from one of your customers, and again, anonymize it if you like, about the specific process or pain point that customer was able to get some traction on by getting feedback using Joyous.
Yeah, so look, we, and I'll use telco. Yeah, telco is a lot of our kind of bread and butter. In fact, four of the world's 10 largest telcos are big Joyous users, right? So we're big in telco. And I think one of the ones I've just seen recently is this idea of repeat visits, you know, like trying to reduce the number of repeat visits. And for telco, repeat visits are like a $200 million, $300 million, $400 million problem a year. So they have teams of people working on it. It's not like a problem they're unaware of. You know? But what we do is we can actually go and talk to the people doing the work, you know, the field service technicians, and say, hey, you know, what are your ideas to solve this? You know, what are the challenges that you come across? And it's just fascinating, the stuff that you actually end up uncovering, right? And in that particular example, you know, we've kind of created like four or five things, and when they've executed those, within the first 12 months, they're literally saving 15%. You know, so 15% of $200 million, you know, like being saved in the first year by implementing the stuff that the team suggested, right? Yeah. And the thing about that, if you come from the kind of HCM stack, you know, the HR tech stack, you're not really used to ROIs or, you know, like outcomes or impact, which are measured in like, oh, we saved you $25 million in the first year or something, right? And so it's been this kind of revelatory kind of process where suddenly you're making real impact. But I have to say one other thing. One of the things I love about this too is you're actually making real impact on employee experience, because we always think about employee experience in these HR terms, right? You know, we think about well-being and DE&I and culture, which are all obviously very important things. But employees think about things in a very day-to-day way oftentimes, right? And so, you know, I'll give you an example. We ascertained that, you know, in one particular telco, they were, you know, a field service tech in installing a fibre box. You know, goes up the stairs to the apartment, knocks on the door, goes in, you know, turns out they've got the wrong screws. They need drywall screws, but they've got wood screws, so back down to the van. They might not even have them in the van, so drive to a department store, you know, like to a hardware store, should I say, and like, you know, come back up the stairs, hassle the customer again. You know, we're able to identify that stuff, you know, and remove that stuff. And you know what? Removing that inconvenience from that employee's life is actually real employee experience as well, right? So we've found this amazing thing where oftentimes the things which are great for the enterprise turn out being great for EX as well. You know, like, yeah, you know, we're doing some airline wait time stuff at the moment. You know, like a problem everyone understands, right? Yeah, you know, like if you can make customers less frustrated, you know, using Joyous, you make your care team or your customer service team or your call center team, they go home less grumpy. You know, you're making their life better. You know, so I'm sort of starting to rant, aren't I? But like, you know, it's easy to get passionate about this stuff because you're actually impacting real EX.
Well, I think what you're doing, it really describes why it's called Joyous, right? And I think when you think about some of the examples you're giving, which I'm glad you are, it's like those are things that an employee might think is too trivial, but it really does have an impact on the way they work. And it does have an impact then on the customers they serve and their overall attitude and their overall engagement and happiness. But again, they might think that that's such a trivial thing about the screws, for example, but it really isn't. It's such a huge impact. So I love that you're kind of taking what we aren't normally thinking of as an impactful, you know, sort of instance, but you're collectively making that where it's got a monetary measured value at the end. I think that's really, really unique for an HR leader to be thinking about.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting, isn't it? And one of the things, so I'm pleased you mentioned like HR leaders thinking about it, because so often we sell into the business and HR comes along second, you know, but more and more we're seeing kind of post-pandemic, you know, people in culture and HR leaders have really taken a much extended remit. So things like
employee comms and collaboration, these sort of things have ended up being part of their remit. And so they're actually leaning in and taking Joyous. And you know the constant conversation about seat at the table.
Right.
Yeah, if you're actually sitting there going, oh, you know what we're doing? Yeah, we're helping the operational leader save $20 million a year. It's like suddenly you're in a strategic conversation. And it's a joy to us because we just find ourselves really helping those leaders become more visible.
And it's not a knock on a lot of the providers here who are kind of dipping into the employee experience space and are concerned about improving employee experiences, but it often comes at a cost, right? It means more of this program or a better enhanced benefit program or more leave or whatever the case may be, signing up for, mental health applications, et cetera, which are all valuable and they can move the needle on employee experience and can be positive things. But generally speaking, right, they're cost levers, not certainly operational efficiency levers.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm always, the first era of EX, not wanting to be cruel, was really just HR measurement, wasn't it? It was just like measuring stuff, fortunately, that era feels like it's over now, right? And we've really moved into an era where, you walk around the show here and the interesting things to me are people who are actually improving the life of people at work.
Right.
So some of that is kind of building UX on top of an HR back end. But some of it's like just stuff which makes things better for people. So, ADP Intelligent Assistant, right? I miss my clock in, and like it tells me. It kind of figures it out, and then I've solved that problem. You know what? That's actual real EX. You look at the Fuel 50 folk who are helping with internal mobility. That's actually about employees' lives. I saw someone who's doing basically financial management as a benefit. These are all things which are actually shifting what it's like to be an employee rather than just kind of creating efficiencies in HR.
Well, I think you're right. I think that's the shift, right? It's that you are now seeing organizations come into being, like Joyous, where the other ones seem to say, like, oh, we need to fix employee engagement. What do we do as leaders to someone to make that better?
Yeah.
This is sort of flipping the script, right? You're listening first to employees. It feeds up. You then can go back. So it's just it changes the process and it includes them in the solution versus a leader saying, I'm going to take this thing
and do it to you, and then you're going to
be happier.
So true, right? I felt that when we initially started, kind of from a standing start about 4.5 years ago looking at EX, the promise was there, but it just sort of felt like a whole new way to disappoint employees, didn't it? And I think it's really moved on from that now, right? It's moved into intelligent design and all other sorts of things now, and this sort of focus on actually creating difference for people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that would be a great tagline for a new product. A whole new way to disappoint employees. I like that one though. And speaking of taglines, which we were at, But Mike, you did write the book on marketing, and I don't remember all the book, but I think, tell me if I'm right, I remember rule one, which was you must be liked. Wasn't that sort of the beginning of it?
I think it was the first rule was it was more important to be memorable than professional. I think that I think that when we came into HR tech, back in 2006 with
it's worth telling a touch of the backstory, because when I knew Mike was coming to HR Tech this year with Joyous, and after Joyous won the top product award as well, I was so thrilled that he could join us here and do this conversation, but I felt like compelled to ask him at least to tell just a touch of your HR Tech backstory, which involves an earlier startup and some really interesting times we've had here at HR Tech as well.
Yeah, well, look, we started a company called Sonar6 right at the beginning of SaaS. I remember, in fact, going to a VC meeting in the Valley, and they said partway through the conversation, you're a SaaS business. And I remember nodding later on going and looking up on my phone, on my Nokia, I imagine. What is a SaaS business? Oh, yeah, we're a SaaS business. We had this business. The tagline was at last, performance reviews that don't suck. And and we were just about taking the performance review process, putting it in the cloud, and trying to make it more fun, more enjoyable, right?
Right.
And I think at that stage of HR tech, 2006, 2007, maybe 2008 it was, if you think about HR tech conference, it was sort of, the flavor was more HR and less tech. That kind of disruptive tech thing, that's where we came from. We had no idea about HR. So we kind of flew into it with a sort of thing of how do we create some noise? And we arrived in, the Bill Kutek's HR Tech conference was quite conservative. You know, like,
very
wonderful,
much so, yes.
But, like, it was quite a conservative place to be. And I think the first year we came, we were just, like, we didn't even have a booth, right? We didn't have a booth, but it was the early days of social media. And so we kind of, like, started tweeting, like, about our booth, even though we didn't have one. And, like,
the booth that you couldn't find, right?
Yeah.
I remember that a little bit, yeah.
And we were talking about the laser show we were setting up. And, of course, you know, early days of social media, we just hashtagged it HR Tech Conf. And, like, you know, the crew that was, like, handling social media would just retweet it. And, like,
absolutely.
You know, and, like, you know, and
what? No one certainly retweeted something they didn't actually read or know anything about, right?
Okay. And so, like, so we kind of ended up creating a, I don't know, bit of a stir. People didn't, I don't know, some people didn't like it. Fair. And so they said, look, if you're coming back next year, you need to buy a booth. So we're like, oh, yeah, we're going to buy a booth. But we were very much of the opinion that, like, hey, we existed on the internet. You know, people should find out about us on the internet at that point. You know, like,
can we just talk about that booth for just a moment? Because I will tell you, every single year before HR Tech and people start thinking about the booths, and there are many booths here who are very amazing, right? We're looking out over them. That's one of the most infamous ever. Right?
But memorable. We're talking about
everyone
it 14 years later or however long it's been.
You know what?
First of all, everyone talks about bringing puppies. Number one. Number two is your booth. So tell us about your booth.
Yeah, so we took a 10-foot by 10-foot space. And I think that, like, typically if you look at a 10-foot by 10-foot space, you got a table with a skirt, you know, and, like, you put like, a fishbowl on the corner that people could put their business cards in, and then you'd win an iPad maybe or something like that, and you try and catch someone's attention. And we were like, oh, screw that. That's not our vibe. So we built a 10-foot by 10-foot cardboard box, like, and just stuck it in the middle of the stand and put a handwritten sign on the outside that said, "It lasts performance reviews that don't suck." And I think that some of the show organizers just wanted us to take our booth back to New Zealand. Like, we were lowering the tone, right?
But there were some Sharpies, right?
This is completely random, in fact. Like, someone came along and, like, yeah, we had Sharpies and, like, and they wrote, like, "Go Bears," you know, on the side of the booth.
Right.
You know? And then before we knew it, like, we'd sort of become this weird kind of viral sensation where everyone wanted to come and write on our booth. And so we just, like, had this giant cardboard box covered in graffiti by the end of it. You know, like, we won, like, the People's Choice for best booth with our cardboard box.
Well, like, I think, you know, too, when you think about whether it's a booth or whether it's your overall, you know, solution that you're offering to someone, you have to make it a destination. Right?
Yeah.
And that's what you captured. And I think that's what we're hearing with Joyous. You're capturing, you're sort of in a relationship with your customers. You're a destination for them to have, like, a real connection with their employees. And that's unique.
Yeah. Yeah. No, thank you. I mean, it's like, you know, I think that constraints are the midwife of good design, aren't they? You know, like, and it's like, yeah, when you're new, you know, you can't go and build, like, you know, back in those days, Taleo had Cirque du Soleil acrobats above their stand.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like, you know, like, you know, we were just literally like, oh, we've got, you know, we've got a budget of $5K, you know, $5,000. I mean, it was in Chicago, so, like, probably a unionized workforce. It probably, our cardboard box probably cost 15.
Yeah, that probably
grand, but, like,
that probably bought 8 minutes of advisory services. Yeah,
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 exactly.
Yeah. We had to get through the fire department too. I remember that.
But it shows you, though, you know, people who are interested in what you're offering are not necessarily looking for all the flash.
Yeah.
Right. That doesn't. It might get their initial attention, but they don't need it in order to understand what your values are as an organization that's going to help them, what you're actually going to be able to deliver to them, and in your example earlier of where you're actually helping organizations save money that they can either use on something else to benefit employees or to give back to the community, whatever it might be. Right. So I think there's a little bit of just a different approach than what you see from a lot of other people in the space.
So Kai Crow is the mastermind behind the cardboard box. He was with us at Sonar 6. He's now with us at Joyous, and, you know, he's created our stand now. Yeah, like, yeah. And his whole vibe this year was like, let's just put up a big sign that says Joyous, because people will have to come over and ask us what we do, won't they?
Right.
You know, like, and I do just love that idea of, like, you know, you throw out into the universe what you want to project, right? You know, like, yeah, and it's just full of color and joy, yeah.
Yeah, so. And despite being more experienced, been successful, more seasoned, if you will, Mike, this little guerrilla marketing kind of approach has not left, Mike. Yesterday evening, when I was up here helping to hand out the Top HR Products of the Year awards, of which Joyous was a recipient, which is awesome, Mike just casually walked up to the lectern, which I'm looking at right now in the front of this theater we're sitting in.
Right.
And just something happened. I don't know what. And he walked away. And I thought that was odd, like how he paused for a second and then walked away. Didn't say a word. I poked my head around the corner, and there was a Joyous sticker on the front of the lectern, which I believe is still there.
Really?
I can't see it from here. Yeah. It's still there.
They're nodding in the crowd. Yeah. Yes, it's there.
Everyone who's come to the pitch fest has seen Joyous.
Well played.
I love it.
So, Mike, last thing before we let you go, before we let these fine audience go, and we head out to our night here at HR Tech in Las Vegas, I hate to be asked the hokey software analyst or industry type
question
that we ask of providers is, what's coming up next?
What's on the roadmap?
Once you build your award-winning product that's saving millions of dollars for customers, it's never good enough. Yeah. There must be something next.
Right.
So I imagine there probably is.
What we've built. We're not a vaporware provider. What we describe is what we've built. But we do know that within the columns that we work in, that there's more depth to get to, right? And I think that from the perspective of actually helping people respond to feedback more quickly, we're getting very good at identifying commentary which requires action, and so highlighting that and kind of like organizing people's feeds so they can kind of see the most actionable stuff. And so we're getting more better and better at that. And I think one of the things which I'm talking to Ruby, who's our co-CEO and also heads the product team, that she's talking about, which I think is so exciting, is that we're starting to be able to identify in the organization those people that actually have the best input. Mm. Those kind of experts seven layers down that actually know the most stuff,
right?
So that we can kind of really utilize them more and more. And I think that's a nice thing, because you actually start to recognize people who have real value regardless of their regardless of their functional position.
That's good. I mean, I think that's the key, and that's what you want to convey to your clients as well, right? You need to listen to everyone through the organization, and that's maybe where some of the surprising best practices come from, right?
Yeah.
That you didn't even know about.
Honestly, the idea that the expertise to solve some of your biggest problems is sitting six layers down in the business is not something you need to sell to people. Yeah. People, all serious C-suite people know that. Yeah. It's just they haven't been able to access it.
Great stuff, Mike. Contact information, learn more about Joyous. Where do we ask folks to go? Besides the stand, that's
besides
Joyous,
the sticker.
For the folks that are here, folks who are not here listening to this after the fact.
So if you're not here, joyoushq.com, that's the place to come. We particularly love larger organizations. Like I said, if you've got a problem,
who doesn't?
You've got staff,
really?
We can solve it. And we solve it, by the way, by we sell the stuff just by going to pilot quickly. We literally will do a 3-week pilot on a big problem you've got, and within 3 weeks you'll see the power of the stuff.
That's great. That's great. I think you should also use the Steve Bowes back real estate. You could have just stick a sticker on Steve.
You could have pulled that off. I would not have noticed. I'd be walking around with it.
You're
going
to be sensitive to it now.
You can just pat him on the back.
But it's a great story. I mean, the old stories are fun. We have a good laugh, et cetera. And folks, you can Google cardboard box booth or inspirational ideas for a trade show booth. An image of this cardboard box we've talked about is out there. It lives on the internet forever.
Fun.
So I encourage folks to do that. Go to joyoushq.com. Mike Carden, great to see you again.
So nice.
Congratulations
to
you and the Joyous team as well.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's lovely to be here. It feels like a giant family reunion, doesn't it?
The
whole
it
vibe
is
great. Yeah, and we're absolutely, all the people we've talked to have been so lovely today, really.
That's good to hear. Yeah. Great to hear. Good stuff. Very well. Thanks for the folks who hung out with us today.
Yes,
thank you so much. Pitch Fest Theater at HR Tech. Trish, thank you.
Thank you. It's
really,
nice
really
to be
stuff.
Back together.
It is. Let's do this again next year.
I'll see you next year.
All right. Thanks to our friends at Paychex once again. You can subscribe to all the shows on the network, including the newest show coming soon, HR Means Business, all at hrhappyhour.net. That's it. My name's Steve Bowes. Thanks so much for listening, and bye for now.